Hello, listeners. Welcome to another tremunderful combo word, tremendous and wonderful episode of Rebrand concerning the Great American Road Trip. It's just Ashley and I literally in the car driving through America talking about road trips. And it's beautiful. It was a beautiful time, and I love this episode. The sound is crud, you guys. I apologize. Or whatever. It's fine. Here's the thing. You can tell we're in a car. So if I were you, I'd do a real, what we call in the world of academia, theater of the mind thing, and just pretend you're on a road trip with Ashley and I. You know, what a blast, right? But yeah, I apologize for the sound quality. I think you get used to it, though. Also, we've got a Patreon. If you like the show and you're interested in supporting, you don't have to. We're just as happy to have your listenership. Also, writing reviews on Apple is free, so give that a shot. But if you want to join the Patreon, it's a ton of fun. You get to suggest episode themes. You get unreleased content. You get unreleased video content. Ashley and I are going to do a hangout next month. I think we're going to do it the 27th, but that is our wedding anniversary. So we'll be busy being overwhelmed by romance. So, yeah, man, join our Patreon if you're so inclined. Thanks for listening, you guys. Hearts and hugs. Be nice to yourself. Be kind to your friends. And give yourself a hug. And fuck ice.
Rebrand! Ding!
Okay. Here we are on the open road, honey.
Woo!
If you're hearing any, car noise or road noise or cow noise or gas station noise, it's because we're on the open road.
That's right, we're on a classic American road trip.
Classic American road trip.
Now you haven't done the Welcome to Rebrand.
Ah, fuck. Welcome to Rebrand, a comedy podcast. Wait, I'm supposed to say my name first. Hi, I'm Ashley Birch.
And I'm Ward Burke.
And welcome to Rebrand, a comedy podcast where we inject new life into tired old brands, whether they be snack food, celebrities, or religious institutions. I did that from memory this time.
That's the first time, see?
First time.
That's the amazing thing.
Power of the road trip.
I know this from doing stand-up, that if I don't trust myself and I have my notes, I feel like I need them, but then when I just leave them off stage, I'm fine.
No problem.
Yep. You gotta learn to trust ourselves, I feel.
Not my chair, not my problem.
That's right, not my clown, not my fuck circus.
What the heck? What the heck is a fuck circus?
It's just like the phrase fuck circus. It's like, it's two very powerful words combined with each other, you know?
Yeah, I mean, circuses are basically already there.
Yeah, a circus is one thing, but a fuck circus, I feel like it's like either obviously like a circus of people having sex, which is insane, or just a circus that's all messed up.
Right, but don't you think that the first one, that circuses are basically already there?
Yeah, they're already kind of a fuck circus.
Don't you think?
It's just an excuse to add the word fuck.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I'm not critiquing it.
It feels so heavy in the consonants. That
fuck circus.
It just feels like a very powerful phrase.
It's a lot of C's.
Yeah,
three C's.
Yeah, a lot of heavy consonants in there.
Honey, what are we rebranding today?
Guys, we're going to rebrand road trips.
Because we're on one.
Yeah.
So we just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're at the tail end of our road trip. So we are the sort of like 4.5 hours from home. God, we want to see our dog. That's where we are on the road trip. But
totally. Yep. A 13-hour drive yesterday.
Yes.
We're on hour 5 of the drive today, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We went to Portland for a wedding.
Yep.
Beautiful Moore is afraid of flying.
Mm-hmm.
One day we will work upon it.
Yep. It gives me the shimmies.
The shimmies?
It gives me the crying shakes.
Oh, that's yes. Yes. It's a cute.
You put me on a plane, I immediately go.
The shimmies is a cute way of saying a panic attack. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-oh. Someone's got the shimmies.
It gives my nervous system a case of the goofies.
Uh-huh. The goof-em-ups.
Yeah.
He gets tingly. And he gets screamy.
Yeah, I get profound fear in the heart.
Oh, yeah. All over the heart, all over the body.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the train up at first. Do we even want to talk about this?
Yeah, we can. I don't know. We can. There's some interesting shit, maybe.
Is there?
No, maybe not.
Fuck it. Okay, let's talk about what we think. What do you think the current brand of the road trip is? I'm so sorry. I asked you the question.
No, you gotta get after it.
I didn't even let you pause to think.
Honey, get after it. No, your instinct is to fill up sound, which is perfect for the broadcasting that we're doing.
I suppose. It's just, let there... I experiment. experiment with long pauses in the intro, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I should give you the grace of the dignity to have a moment to think.
Yeah, but that's different because, you know, I'm not going to nobody's going to interrupt you in the intro because we know you're not going to stop until you're done with the script.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah.
I have historically not loved a road trip myself.
Okay, very good. No, I don't even know that I knew that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You think I would have been aware of that.
Before we went on this road
trip. Yeah. Well, yeah, and you've done several road trips with me, which I think just shows how much you love me.
I do.
I love road trips, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm not like, oh, I hate them.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone that's not afraid of flying,
mm-hmm.
like, it's so much faster to take a plane.
Yep.
It's so much time in a car. The fastest way is usually the ugliest way to go.
Yeah, totally.
So there's a lot of, and then like figuring out places to stay. And I think the first road trip we went on was to St. Louis, and we stopped in some southern town that neither of us were familiar with. And we had been listening to the podcast Shit Town at night.
Right.
Which is not like a scary podcast, but it was very dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a scary to it.
So I pulled into our Airbnb with the shimmies.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, oh, someone's going to come out and do a podcast about us posthumously against our will or our wishes.
Yeah, it felt like a real murderable part of the country.
It really did. It really felt like there were lots of guys smiling with knives, waiting in the dark to get you.
Yeah, hey, how come all these streetlights are out?
Yeah, what we will say. Moments before the knife slides, like butter into our throats.
You don't think about how stabbing somebody's like kind of a slide motion.
Oh yeah, just swoop, and it goes.
Yeah.
So you know, that was my brand of road trips, kind of. But we originally were not going to drive this route, and then we decided to, and we also took the scenic route, which added 3 hours to our first day,
mm-hmm.
but was so unbelievably beautiful. Like, the other thing I realized that I like about road trips now is you get the benefit of seeing a lot of beautiful stuff depending on how you map it without the sort of rigmarole of where are we going to stay? You know what I mean? Like, you can, if you just keep it pushing.
Yep.
Then you can see forest, you can see ocean, you can see rivers that dump into the ocean, and sunsets, and all sorts of beautiful stuff. We met a dog named Tipper at one of the overlooks that we stopped at.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to be, because planning a trip usually gives me anxiety. So if we were trying to figure out, like, where do we stop, where do we stay, where do we eat, da-da-da-da-da, it would have been a lot of planning. And a lot of, like, got to keep a schedule and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Versus because we were just keeping it pushing, we got to see all that great stuff.
Yep.
But on a reasonable timeline.
Yeah, the road trip to me is all about freedom. So I really love the spontaneous thing of, like, all right, let's say I'm going to be in Texas or something.
Yeah.
There's, like, two or three things I want to see. I want to see Car Stonehenge, let's say.
That's a thing?
You don't know what Car Stonehenge?
No.
Yeah, it's a bunch of cars stood up vertical on their little butts.
What the heck?
Yeah, arranged in sort of a circular pattern.
That's
nuts. Car Stonehenge,
Car Stonehenge.
Yeah, right? So it's like, okay, I'm aiming for Car Stonehenge. I don't know exactly how I'm going to feel that day, right?
And
it's all dependent. For me, I love driving. And so I'm very likely to get in the car and be like, I'm going to do 15 hours a day, fuck it, and feel really good about doing like 15 hours or more.
Uh-huh.
But then, allowing for spontaneity, if there's a day like, dude, I want to drive slow, and I'm tired, I want to sleep late, you know, and then, depending on those variables, when I get towards Car Stonehenge, maybe I just drive up to Car Stonehenge, there it is, and then leave.
Right, right, right.
Or maybe I got time, I'm going to go try to climb up into one of the cars at Car Stonehenge, pretend like I'm driving into space.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so I love the spontaneity of a road trip. I like to keep it loose.
I see, you like to keep it loose.
Mm-hmm.
You like to keep it fun.
Yep.
So it ain't fun.
Yep, absolutely. Especially now, what with having access to every song in the world, every album ever created for the most part, any podcast, like... And also, too, and I think we've experienced this road trip specifically, is another thing that I love about road trips that is challenging, and I'm proud of this metaphor, it is like being on LSD because you're forced to face yourself whether you like it or not.
Mm.
There's nowhere to go.
Right.
You're sitting here with your emotional state. You really can't deny it. You can't turn on the TV to stop it.
Right. You can't. I guess you could go drink.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can do
People, yeah, I guess you could technically do that if you wanted and if you didn't get caught, but I would not recommend it.
Don't do an intentionally drunk road trip, but if you do, please vlog it.
Don't do either of those things. Don't do any of it. Cut it out. Ooh, cows.
Yeah. See?
Cow watch.
We're just past San Francisco. We are looking at the most gorgeous amber fields of wheat and golden grass, occasionally dotted by healthy cows and like single trees that make me want to go meditate under them to see if I could become enlightened like the Buddha.
Wow.
I mean, this gorgeous expanse.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful. I mean, that is the sort of thing actually that I realized about just even the cut, like the West Coast is extremely beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't think I remembered how absolutely gorgeous Northern California is, because I haven't been to Northern California in a while. I haven't driven through it probably since I was a kid. So, like, when we went through San Francisco, Mort was specifically like, I want to go over the Golden Gate Bridge. And I was like, okay. Completely forgetting how fucking cool it is to drive over the Golden Gate Bridge. It's massive. And the fact that we made, like, humans made that, it's, it's a dark time in our nation's history. I'm not going to hold you. It's not great right now. So it's kind of nice.
Ashley's allergic to abuses in human rights.
Yes, so I'm allergic to fascism.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So it was really nice to drive through really beautiful parts, especially of the state of California, because right now, L.A. in particular has been fucking...
Oh. Hilariously misrepresented.
Oh, I was about to say, like, horribly raided by ICE agents.
Also that? Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Misrepresented, told lies about in order to pull hateful, racist political stunts that are violations of human rights.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I love L.A., and I'm proud of the way that folks in L.A. have responded to ICE. But it is like a bleak feeling, you know? Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So I don't know. It's not that I wasn't proud of California, but there's something about getting a little bit outside the city and remembering how big the state is, how many people are in it. San Francisco is also a fucking incredible city. I haven't been there in years and years and years. And even just driving through it, like, we stopped and got maybe the best veggie burrito I've ever gotten in my life. And just seeing, like, the difference in architecture. It was misty and kind of foggy and moody. I don't know. It was just this thing of... And again, I'm someone that, like, usually prefers expediency. And that's why I will take planes if I have to go on trips. But, yeah, there's something about getting... You just don't have that experience... As you say, it's a combination of, like, getting to be amongst the nature and the cities that you're passing through in a way that you don't get on a plane, and also the freedom to be like, well, that's cool, should we stop and look at that? Mm-hmm. Or I'm hungry, do you want to stop and eat something or whatever?
Yeah.
Which I don't think I appreciated necessarily, even, maybe even before this road trip, I don't know that I appreciated it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, I think I also... let myself, like, I done more, God bless him, loves to drive. I don't love it myself, but being able to be a passenger princess has let me, like, meditate. I have meditated a few times and, like, done some pretty deep meditations on this road trip, which is great.
Mm-hmm. See, you're taking advantage of the moving while still experience,
yeah.
Which is that, like, you have that opportunity to face those painful emotions that you've been, like, it's real easy to avoid that stuff when you're at home.
Yeah, when you can go wherever, do whatever, you can, yeah. I mean, there's so much other shit I could do besides sit down and meditate at home.
Yep, and I want to say, too, that, like, there's the reason we're trying to face these emotions is because you feel better on the other side, and they're rarely as painful as you think they are, although they are painful.
Oh, they're painful.
Like, it's not fun.
Yes.
But they won't kill you, and if anything, they actually will teach you more about yourself and those experiences. Those feelings are trying to tell you something.
Yes. I mean, there's freedom on the other side, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
Theme of the podcast, freedom.
Freedom, absolutely. American freedom.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to take back America because they're fucking it so badly.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. I think I
was... Make America great for the first time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, man. It is this thing of, I didn't have any sort of pride in being from this country. And it's not that I, like, love the country. I'm not, like, I'm not a jingoist. But I love the people.
Mm.
I love how beautiful California and Oregon are. I love getting to see horses and sheep on the side of the road. I love that we saw, you know, we drove through redwoods, and now we're in, like, as Mort said, they're literally golden hill, like, so many golden, smooth golden hills.
Yeah, with the sun just dappling them and, like, beautiful cloud shadows on the distant, far away golden land. Like, and coming down from the redwoods, which we got out, walked, we did a little walking path, very small. We walked for, like, 10, 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Stood, held each other's hands, looked into each other's eyes in a way that would make any... It'd make any onlooker feel disgusted. And, like, how sweet and generous of spirit it was. And, like, we're standing between two giant trees that are connected. We're, like, standing on their trunks. And then we went down and hugged a tree, a giant redwood.
We look, fucking throw up if you wanna. Hate us if you will. Yes, we hugged a tree. And you know what? It felt great.
It really does
feel... It was grounding.
I feel like, yeah, it always affects me in this way. It's very easy for me to feel, like, unmoored, to feel, like, unsettled in my insides.
Yeah.
And hugging a giant tree makes you feel like the opposite of that.
It does. Look, the hippies, obviously.
Oh, they were...
Oh, I want a great ideas.
Yeah, they were right about...
I said that in the same structure as Hitler. What do they people say? Hitler was a rounder, and I feel like that was the same cadence that I said.
Well, you also said it in, like, a slight Larry David tone.
Oh, too. Boy. Oh, no.
Hippies. Right, but it's true. What was their thing? They were like, organic food. Treat the earth well. You know, like, come on. Free love. You know, I mean, it's not perfect. It's idealistic. There needs to be, like, a little more logic and rationality brought to it. But as North Stars, those are really, really... great ideas. And then coming from the redwoods down, we met a man with a dog. The dog's name was Tipper. The
yep.
guy was a faithful man in, like, flip-flops and a cross, so he's like a modern a modern day Jesus, this guy. And
he really rose in your estimation.
Yeah, he did.
He gave us a heads up on, like, a cool overlook. And these were Mort's words. If James has misled us, I'll have to cut him throat to belly.
I said if he told us to go to this place and then it was a trap.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
I was going to have to cut him throat to belly. Another theme of this episode: stabbing. But he told us, he's like, go a mile this way after the art. This is the other thing: is it turns into a weird adventure treasure hunt. Like, random dude with a sweet dog. We decided he was a good guy because his dog was so mellow and so sweet. He's like, go 2 miles down after the green arched bridge, make a ride on Sequoia, then follow it for, like, a mile and a half, and you'll see where this big river enters into the ocean. And it was, it was sunsets. There was all these, like, the banks of the river were lined with these incredibly thick, gorgeous green trees. And the sunlight was sparkling off them.
And there was a shore that was just, like, jutting out between the river and the ocean. So it didn't, there was the river on one side, and then a small division between where the tree line was and this shore where the river was letting into the ocean. And the shore was black, like black sand.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the most beautiful vantages I've ever seen.
Totally. Yeah, and the river was emptying into the ocean. And where it was doing that, there was, like, this strange ripple that was happening, that it was in the shape of, as Ashley pointed out, like a perfect...
Semicircle.
So this kind of, like, geographic, mathematical phenomenon of beauty that looked like the... vaguely like the Fibonacci sequence or something... In addition to this, like, sunset that was happening, all because we, like, pulled off and took the, well, I came up with this phrase, the road less traveled.
Oh, my gosh. Mort keeps, okay, this is the one thing about this road trip, is that Mort keeps claiming that he's invented words that he has not invented, like adulting. Yeah. As a very silly goof.
I made up this thing called adulting.
He didn't do it.
I think it's going to catch on. It's kind of this funny thing where it's like, okay, being an adult, it's not the most fun.
Honey.
Yeah.
That's a dad joke. You got to admit.
No, I think what I'm doing is I'm making fun of the dad joke. Because I'm making fun of it. Because everyone who uses the word adulting, they all use that word like they just made it up. That's what I think is fucking lame. So that's actually what I'm making fun of.
Okay, I see.
I'm doing a little person-to-person parody.
I see. Okay. Horse watch.
We got a horse over here.
We got a horse over here. Ashley, boys, we got a horse over here.
Ashley learned that she loves the idea of sea caves because there were signs for sea lion sea caves, and they sparked a kind of wonder in her eyes that I haven't seen since we've known each other.
What? No way. I have wonder in my eyes all the time. How dare you?
That's true. That's true.
It was funny though, Mort was, because Mort is extremely sweet, and he wants to find things that are nice for me. He's like, you work so hard, like, we should do something for you.
Ashley doesn't give herself enough stuff.
Well, so he's like...
Not that everybody needs stuff, but I feel like there should be something that you love in order to, that is special, that you can kind of reward yourself with a little bit.
Yeah, I think he wants me to mark, which is very loving and very kind. He wants me to mark, successes or even just periods of working hard with, like, some sort of gift to myself. But it's funny because his suggestions were always like, do you want to get yourself some jewelry or something? And I was like, no.
Which is a total stab in the dark. I know that's not your thing, but I'm like, I don't know what it is. Like, you've got vegan ice cream in the fridge. There's nothing else you seem to want.
No. So that's when he saw me see the sea caves and go, oh, sea caves. He was like, well, now we have to find you sea caves because my suggestions of diamonds
are like so boring.
I'm like, not interested.
Like, how about, I guess, a sea cave?
Yeah, I want to see some stalactites, some stalagmites, some moss growing on some rocks. Come on.
So there's this thing of, like, following the energy of your heart that will point you to the things that you've forgotten or haven't discovered that you might enjoy yet.
I also feel like it's important to do road trips possibly also that, like, oh, what's this? It's like a greenhouse. Crazy greenhouse.
Huge, beautiful greenhouse.
Whoa, that was cool. Is this fun for you listeners to remark upon things that
I'd
you can't
like
see?
I think our descriptions are so evocative that it's a real theater of the mind.
Okay, I hope you're right.
I hope so too.
I think it's also maybe important to revisit road trips that maybe you did when you were a kid.
Interesting.
I don't know, I'm just thinking because I did the Arizona to Portland road trip when I was a kid.
Totally.
And hated every second of it.
Right. I think kids have too much energy. They can't sit still for that long.
Well, an hour is 1,000 years to a child.
Absolutely, yeah. A summer is a decade, and they shouldn't be really expected to sit.
Yeah. Politely, calmly, for fucking however long that is from Arizona. It must be like 20-plus hours. I mean, we stopped a lot, but still. I remember, too, like when I was younger, the one time that we drove from Phoenix to Anaheim to go to Disneyland, I could not believe how long it was. I couldn't believe how long it felt. Oh. And then I did that drive when I was a teenager or like in college or something. I was like, oh, this is fine.
We did a family road trip to New York with a cousin of mine and our whole family in a Gremlin X, which is a car the size of a shirt pocket. It is an impossible thing to do.
What the hell?
I remember it being like pretty excruciating. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah,
but it's really kind of fun too. But yeah,
sure.
I think it's more. It feels better to me as an adult with the autonomy of like making the decisions. You know, like, do we want to stay in like kind of a nice hotel right now, or do we want to get like the corporate whatever that's cheap and clean because we know we're only going to get there, crash, get up, go.
Yeah, right. The other thing too is I think it's making this road trip kind of gave me a deeper appreciation. I feel like usually when I travel, I'm trying to travel out of the country. I'm like, who? Fucking America. Let's go somewhere else. I want to hit all these. We met an Australian couple who travel a fucking Herculean amount. They were going to Seattle.
To Alaska.
They were going to Seattle to take a ferry to go to Vancouver Island. They were spending 3 nights in Seattle, then going to Vancouver Island, then taking a train from Vancouver to, I believe, Toronto, and then going down to Chicago, and then they were going to go home, but then in October, they're fucking going to Egypt and Jordan. Crazy. Anyway.
And may they never hear this. They looked very old. Like, it's so inspiring that they were like, yeah, we're crisscrossing the North American continent twice by train. And, like, I would have been like, hey, you guys walk around the block? That's impressive.
I know. And she was like, yeah, my sister did, like, an 100-mile walk in the Irish countryside. I was like, what the fuck are
we
doing?
70? I was like, what the fuck is happening over there? Like, our elderly just stop moving and die of stomach cancer.
But all I had to say, they were telling us about a previous trip to America that they had taken, where they had gone to New Orleans, and they'd gone to, they took a train that got them into Graceland at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what the fuck are we going to, they didn't say this. Like, Arnor, what the fuck are we going to do?
Actually, stories are always perfectly translated, except for with more cussing than actually happens.
I don't know if you can hear the tinkle of gravel hitting the sky.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
The windshield.
Which is a little bit harrowing. It's like a gravel truck that's like popping out of the top and hitting our rental. But yeah. Like, that's the other thing. Last night was kind of gnarly coming down the coast from Portland. You know, the end of the road was the craziest drive I've ever done.
It was the twist. It was like someone was fucking with Mort. Like,
if I had to design a road to hit a deer on, this would be perfectly. Like, it was, there's a scene in this great thing in Pee-wee's Big Adventure where it's like, they're driving, it's a road sign, it's like a curve to let you know there's a curve coming. Then there's another sign and it's a crazier curve. And then another one, and then another one. The last one is just like a series of like figure eights that are all entangled like a series of knots. That's what this was.
Yeah.
So I'm having to focus really hard, and I'm somewhat frightened I'm going to hit an animal. But then I do see some deer on the side of the road, and it's also, like, it's stunning despite the fear. And I'm, like, right next to the moonlit ocean at the same time, and I can roll down the windows and just sort of inhale the, like, oxygen-rich forest air, you know?
And boy, was it rich with oxygen.
Yeah, at any point you could stop and walk. If you want, like...
There was a guy at 11:30 p.m. with a chainsaw.
Dude, hot-dogging it in the middle of the forest
with a chainsaw. In the redwood forest with a chainsaw. He probably wasn't. He should not have been doing that, but hell, if we would have stopped and been like, excuse me, sir.
So funny. Tap him on the shoulder.
Excuse me.
But also, like, you know...
With the scariest truck I've ever seen.
Oh, total, like, nightmare white trash truck. But also, like, truly living his best life. I mean, there are a lot of trees out there. If he's going to take one, that's fine. And who knows what he's not doing with his chainsaw, you know? Well, maybe this is, like, getting in the way of him using it on his brother-in-law.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? I had that vibe. I'm just saying, middle of the night, a solo chainsaw.
It's not the first thing you want to hear.
Somewhat frightening.
Yeah, it's not the main vibe you want. But what I was saying about our Australian friends, whose accent, I'm going to apologize to the entire continent of Australia.
Well, how about you try and do it, and then I'll try and do it. We'll see how we do.
Oh, God. Arnor! It's 6 a.m. in Graceland.
That's not bad.
I feel like it's more New Zealand what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. It's 6 a.m. in Graceland. Yeah, that wasn't even... That became, like, weirdly Germanic or something. I usually am, like, okay at it, but that one...
I think you started speaking in tongues.
I'm too deep, I'm up to my neck in America right now. The only thing I can do is a southern accent.
It's true. And God forbid you do, because you won't stop. That's the one other thing I learned about road trips, is that more, if he starts doing a southern accent, I lose him. I lose my husband.
But have you noticed that I haven't done it this time, because we're not headed through the South?
I know.
When I go through the Midwest and the South, I can't help but become, a fucking rootin' tootin' good old boy.
But anyway, these two, I will not do their accent ever again. I'm so sorry, Australia.
Yeah. There it is.
There it is. There he is. They just rocked off the train at 6 a.m. and Graceland was open.
Yeah.
Which is where Elvis is buried. And apparently they have some quiet contemplation time for an hour,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So they went to Elvis's grave and hung out. It was them and one other person. And that's the kind of shit that I feel like happens when you're not taking a plane and have like a very specific itinerary, you know?
Yeah, and I think... There was another old... There was another old woman on the... There was another older woman.
God, she was old. You'll never believe how old this woman was.
This ancient broad can barely walk.
This bird. Looks like she just rolled out the crypt.
Honestly, a lovely elderly woman, but she was real. You could tell she was kind of freaked out. She seemed very nervous. Her son was picking her up. She needed help off the train. And all that's all good. And I was very happy that the people were there to help her off the train. People were being quite kind to each other. But also, I get the sense that she hadn't traveled in a very long time. You know what I'm saying?
So I think it's
like any other muscle. If you flex the muscle of exploration, you like keep it and you recognize there's nothing to be afraid of. But the more you isolate, and I'm saying this is a person who is very capable of isolating,
right,
the more the world becomes scary. And then you would isolate more because the outside seems scary.
I think that was such a big part of like driving through. That's a really good point, honey. Because I do think like we're also susceptible to fucking propaganda. And there's awful shit happening in our home city right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, it's like, it makes all of America seem scary. It makes all of America seem, and whatever. Like, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that we are in a very, very difficult time in our country's history. And at the same time, it was heartening to go to places where people were being kind. Like that dude we met on the side of the road. Like, you know, I stepped out and I like, put my hand up to say hi or whatever. He smiled and then he
kept his distance, was not aggressive.
No, it was not like, aggressive. He's just like, where are you guys coming from?
Yeah, he clocked us that we're like down to talk to him.
Yeah. And then we got a really beautiful, you know, a really beautiful vantage. And he said, God bless you when we walked back to the car.
Mm-hmm. And then he took a loaf of bread and turned it into a fish. I don't know. That's not, is that what Jesus did? I turned a bottle, he had a bottle of water.
No, you're right. You're right. Jesus took a loaf of bread and turned it into a fish.
Well, he took all the fish and turned it into bread, and he took all the bread and turned it into fish, and people are like, okay, that's fucking, that does nothing for Jesus.
But they had to be impressed. I mean, it was impractical, but certainly.
Yeah, they're like, that's fine. All right, David Blaine.
I love the idea that he took a loaf of bread and turned it into a fish, and people went, okay.
We're just as hungry as we were.
I guess fish is an upgrade, though. In fake Jesus' defense.
Depends on the fish, really.
That's true. If it's like a tilapia from some weird, murky lake.
It's like a hat. Like
missing an eye.
Yeah, like an old half a sardine. They're like, nah.
Oh, jeez. I really wanted that bread,
Jesus. Like, oh, I got water. Nah, we're not actually, we don't even want to see it. Forget it.
I remember the point that I was trying to make about 700 miles ago, which was, when I travel, I keep going, I'm lucky enough to be able to go out of the country, for travel, but I keep kind of doing that as like, oh, that's what I should do. I should go out of the country. And this Australian couple made me realize like, yeah, I've never been to New Orleans. You know, I've never been to Memphis. Mort's sister lives in North Carolina. We've never visited her there. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just places that I have, you know, I've never been to Atlanta. There's like a lot of cool places in the South and in other parts of the country that I've never visited.
Don't let the people who want to scare you into not enjoying where you live.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I ran out of things to say. We're at half an hour, basically.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so this trip, I feel like Ashley and I both have done a lot of processing around I'll just speak for myself. I've done some good, I think, strong processing about my own insecurity about my career, which is like a lifelong issue for me, right? Because I realize always having had pretty low self-esteem for most of my life and then deciding that if my career goes well enough, I'll feel of value.
Right.
Then discovering throughout my spiritual life that your external successes have no effect on your internal sense of self. Because I've been on TV and like terrified in the trailer before I go to work.
Right.
Because I hadn't addressed my anxiety, which like needed to be addressed through medication, stopping cigarettes, medication, meditation, all the stuff that I do continually. So I have a better handle, really, on who I am, right? And so, but that part of me still comes up, especially when I'm going to put out stuff. So I just filmed a special. And I'm in the process of having it edited. And it's just a scary thing. I think anybody listening to this probably has an artistic spirit. And it's a scary thing, no matter who you are, to put out your own work, because it's vulnerable. And it brings up for me this part that doesn't feel loved, but that part hides itself. So what comes up is this other louder voice that is like, this has to be perfect, or else you'll look like a failure. So it becomes like a richly challenging experience that is all pointing to the fact, ultimately, that there's part of myself that I can't, that I have yet to love sufficiently, which is that, like, I get to make mistakes. I get to make work that's not perfect. I get to love the parts of myself that are messy. I get to be not the best, not the worst, just, you know, an artist who puts things out or performs live or whatever it is. And I think that being on the road trip has given me time, and also time with my wife. Her name's Ashley Birch.
It's me.
She's a real babe and really, really smart, and also provided a lot of space for me to say, like, damn, I feel really, really, really disappointed and scared with this one aspect of my career. Can we talk about it? And just having that heard and actually making space for that and not trying to change it, but really just saying, like, damn, I'm sorry, that sucks, helps me to feel seen and help to pretty quicker than normal put it in a place of we'll call, like, right sizing this. Like, it didn't feel overwhelming. It's like, nah, okay, that's true. I can ask for help. I can get help. Other people can help me figure out how to make this close to what I want it to be.
I feel like we did a pretty good job. We have been doing a pretty good job of, like, trading off. Because that is that's the thing about the open row. It just sort of, you get reflective, I think. And anything that you were sort of, not to reiterate what we said before, but, like, anything that you were avoiding or even just sort of musing about or feeling a little bit troubled by, you now have all this time to think about it, which really seems like a tick maybe in the column of never go on a road trip for some people. But what's nice is that I could then be like, hey, can I talk to you about a thing I'm thinking about? And that was a weird sign. Cows. Cow watch. Yeah, that we got to,
I,
like,
it'd be cool if I had a savantism where I could, my only thing was that I could count cows really quickly. And we discovered that right now where it's like 16. But it didn't work with anything else.
You could claim it and we would drive by them with enough, with a quickness that I'd never be able to confirm it. So
that's true. Totally. I could estimate it. You'd be like, it's probably, it felt like 40.
That'd be such a funny lie to tell me.
Yeah.
Like, it gets you so, like, so little capital.
Yeah. You never get to use it. Even when you do, it's, like, almost interesting.
Like, you're imagining me being like, guys, you'll never believe it.
Call your famous friends. But see, you're wandering, so your mind is going to wander.
Yes, and the nice thing about our relationship is that I think our favorite thing to do with each other is to talk. Which is probably why we have this podcast, because we just start doing this anyway.
And hook up, you creeps.
You forget perverts. Farms need water. California farmers grow 50%. Okay.
Now this is funny because Ashley and I are getting to an age where we can't help but read signs.
Oh no!
That's very. And when I went on the road trip with my parents, was hilarious because my mom does that and my dad can't hear. So my mom would go, blowout sale. And my dad would go, what? She'd go, blowout sale. And he'd go, what? And then they're just screaming.
Blowout sale!
Like true psychosis level nonsense at each other in the middle of Wisconsin.
Well, I'm kind of also like, it's interesting. We're just passing by signs that I guess the farmers are putting out that they're bummed that they're not getting enough water to this area, which I guess I didn't realize was a thing. So now I'm like, do I need to learn more about my local politics?
That can never hurt.
What was I fucking saying ever in my life?
You were talking again about, well, initially you had said that thing about, maybe like having to look at these thoughts that you have might be a tick in the box not to go to
room. Oh, yes. But yeah, it's, I think helped me, process some stuff that I was having a lot of difficulty. Cause I try to not just like save up a bunch of trauma for when I like can't not face it. I do try to, like, have a spiritual life, and I go to therapy now, all that kind of stuff. So I was, like, meditating and doing stuff at home, but I still couldn't quite... There's something about also the fact that, like, because I'm a pretty busy person, and and there's not a lot you can do in the car except, honestly, like, look at some of the stuff, go into some of the stuff. I mean, you can, you know, listen to podcasts, play games, and sing music and stuff, but, like, it gave me the space, just in terms of time, I think, that I've needed to actually, like, do some somatic processing for some of this stuff. Because I think when I'm in my day-to-day, I can sometimes be impatient with the part of me that actually needs processing because I just want to get past it.
Yeah, totally.
So rather than just like, ah, okay, all right. What was anything? Like, okay, I get it. You're fucking bummed. But I have to go to work and then record a podcast and get it. I want to get to an aerial class. So can we just like 15 minutes and then you'll be over it so I can stop feeling this way?
And I think it's easy to be frustrated with those feelings because they fucking hurt. So yeah. It's like, I actually don't have time for this. I have this thing that Mort made up called adulting right now.
Oh my God.
No, but you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
he can count cows in the blink of an eye and he came up with adulting.
11.
Oh my God.
still sounds boring. Even all that. I don't think I like him. Made up adulting?
Make him the governor.
Awful. So when I think what those feelings need is to be considered and shared with a safe person. And
they need space made for them. And
yeah, man, have time spent with them, which I know is fucking hard, because, like, if you're like me, I've just been so goddamn long, you know, being terrified of my feelings, because they're so fucking big. Like, it feels bad. I'm very familiar with the fact that it's like, I have an anxiety disorder, it's diagnosed, all this stuff, like and it's very real, and I'm not belittling in any way, but I do think that there are more ways for us to address these issues than are being communicated to us.
But there's also, I think, the real thing of, like, you and I both try to process this stuff actively, and it's still hard when you're in a busy schedule.
Yeah,
you totally know?
Yep.
So the fact, I actually have a lot of gratitude for this road trip, because it really did, just in terms of time in a car, you know, whatever, to, like, let me do that. And I'm with a safe person who I love, that if I start crying or have something come up or whatever, if I need to talk something through, then I can do that with him. Him is Mort, my husband, Mort Burke. He's right here.
Yep. And if you're not having some tears, you're probably not on a road trip.
That's right.
You do some crying.
You gotta do a little bit of crying. Mm-hmm. Versus if I was on a plane, you know, a plane to Portland is like 3 hours or something. That's like a movie and like a couple chapters of a book, mm-hmm. and then you're donezo. So I could have just run as fast as I can from my feelings for 3 hours on a plane. It would have been so easy. But, you know, there's only so much, like, you get bored of listening to albums or podcasts or whatever, so at some point you have to look at the Black Abyss.
Yeah, or the little parts of you that are like, I still feel scared, you know? That you're like,
you said that exactly, like, what's her name from Rizzy or something?
Yeah.
Is it Holly Hunter?
Yeah, Holly Hunter, yeah.
We got a baby now, hot, everything's changed.
Yeah, these little Holly Hunters inside you that are like,
oh, that makes me real.
I feel embarrassed, but I'm still scared. You know? And it's like we've been told, you're told when you're adulting that you should never it's a thing I made up. You should never, that you shouldn't have these feelings. And it's ridiculous, and it makes all of us push the feelings down, and so we're all...
It's just not true. It's the craziest. Man, what a fucking doozy.
Well, I've never heard the phrase until this wedding, the boy is the father of the man. And to me, that's partially what that's about, is like, if you look at children, if you're sane at all, you'll recognize that children are going to be, like, loud. They're going to cry a lot. They're going to be angry. They're going they're going to be confused. They're going to feel overwhelmed. And, like, we still have all of those feelings. Those human feelings never go away.
And they're all Holly Hunter. And that's all I can
think
I'm sleepy. I'm angry.
Yeah, you know? And so we're expecting ourselves to be, like, this boring... I mean, the great news is we're expecting ourselves to be, like, a super boring middle-aged businessman who has no feelings. When in reality, each one of us is, like, a million Holly Hunters who... We want to scribble, or we want to run in the rain.
I'm just imagining, like... like an inside out kind of thing, but it's just a bunch of Holly Hunters. Hey, yeah, what are you? Oh, just a bunch of Holly Hunters.
Yeah, man. And so... You know, I think that's where a lot of these feelings that are like, hey, I had this really scary time and we just kept moving. Can you, like, see that I still feel, I don't know whether or not I should still be afraid.
Right. I don't feel, there's a part of you, right. There's a part of both of us at different times on this trip being like, I feel unsafe. So, podcast listeners, there's a therapy modality called internal family systems, which is basically this concept that all of us have different versions of ourselves inside of us that kind of make up a family system. So you have like a child version of you and a teenage version of you and different parts of you at different ages that all still exist within your mind and your body. And so, yeah, a lot of work that Mort and I have ended up doing in our therapies, because our therapists have these modalities, are like identifying those discrete parts within our internal family system and learning to give them care and attention. And
depending on what happened to you during your childhood, your teenage years, if that stuff hasn't been healed, the teenager is going to grab the proverbial wheel of your life and start doing what that teenager would do, and you can't stop it anymore. Like, mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, yeah, better jack off to a million ports, which is not great for an adult man, you know? So I had to look at that stuff and recognize that. Because the thing about teenage Mort is, like, yes, that's part of it. But he's where I learned to be funny. He's, like, really powerful. He really loves the things that he loves. Like, it's made me love teenagers now. Like, a lot of adults, they hate young people, and it's because they hate that part of themselves.
Well,
instead of the ability to say, like, actually, when I was a teenager, I was kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
And I was also in pain, you know? And, like, so now I can look at teenagers and be like, hell yeah, they make great music. They're hilarious. Like, memes are so fucking funny. That's what we've been talking about. Uh-huh. You know, so all that stuff, like, the more you heal that stuff, the more you can not, like, hate the world around you for no reason. Because you don't want to be the person that hates youth. That's humiliating. And so many people say they will not do that, and the moment they hit 35, they do.
Yeah, right. And I think that's been the nice thing about this particular road trip for me, is that I've been able to do a lot of, like, internal family system processing stuff. That's harder for me to get access to when I'm in this crazy workaday world.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like, the, you know, the other sort of...
Oh, we got low battery, honey, so maybe we should...
Okay, great. Let me say this real quick. Yeah. The opposition to this would sort of purports this silly idea that it's weak to look at your feelings, when the reality is it's so hard.
It's so strong to do it.
It's so scary that it's like... The most courageous thing you will ever do, and those people that project that are the most terrified to look at whatever they have going on inside them that makes them put a skull and an American flag on the back of their car. And I've seen a couple of those.
I was going to say, that's specific enough that you've seen one of these.
It needed to be talked about in the road trip.
Well, our computer's going to die, so this is as good a place as any to stop, I think. Honey, where can the people find us?
You can find us on Patreon, which we have one!
We have one!
It is Rebrand the Patreon. If you join, you get to... We're going to do a hangout with Ashley and I soon, which is going to be fun. You can ask us questions and stuff, because you get immediate access to the Discord. That's what we'll be doing the hangout. You get to recommend episode suggestions, you know, themes. We just did Rain by William, which ended up being great with River Butcher. Go listen to that episode. River Butcher is an incredible comedian, so go check his shit out. Oh, yeah, and so join the Patreon if you got the money. If not, don't worry about it. We love the listenership. And you can find us on Instagram at Rebrand the Podcast.
Send more pictures of cows, and he'll tell you how many are in them.
I'll count them immediately. Here's a hint. It's always 11.
It's always 11?
There's never been more or less than 11 cows together at one time. That's a scientific truth. And also, leave us really glowing reviews on Apple and Spotify. Because, guys, we haven't had a new review in, I'm going to say, 3 months. And it's...
Really?
Yeah, it's maybe suicidal. So if you don't want that on your conscience, which I don't know why you would.
Damn.
Go leave a glowing review.
Do you want to make me a widow?
Is that what you want?
Just kidding. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.